You're not the only one pinching pennies.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Good morning. The Boston Globe says it's reached a cost-cutting agreement with its biggest union, a deal that could save the paper. Details won't be public until tomorrow. The Globe's owner, the New York Times Company, has said it will close the money-losing newspaper unless its unions agree to wage and benefit cuts. Cost-cutting is something Chrysler failed to do in time to avoid bankruptcy. Now the company is a step closer to merging with Italy's Fiat. Late yesterday, a judge ruled against a group of Chrysler's creditors who were trying to block the deal. Stephen Beard has more.
A bankruptcy judge has ruled that the Chrysler plan is fair. Chrysler and the U.S. government want a quick sale of most of the company's assets. They want to sell to a new firm, partly owned by Fiat. A group of Chrysler's secured creditors oppose the plan, calling it illegal. They claim their interests have been ignored, and that with a bit more time, a better deal could be struck. The judge rejected that claim and, in effect, said, let the bidding begin. Analyst Professor David Bailey says it looks like a shoo-in for Fiat.
Given the state of the economy and given the state of the car market generally, I find it highly unlikely that anybody would come forward and offer a better deal for Chrysler. And I think, basically, it's Fiat or bust for this company.
The judge has called for all bids to be in by May the 20th. There'll be a final hearing on the 27th. The deal could be sealed and delivered by the end of June. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Bank of America might be in a bigger financial hole than we realized. Sources say the government stress test shows B of A will need another $34 billion or so in new capital. B of A's not commenting. The test results will be public tomorrow. The bank's problems are not weighing heavily on the markets this morning. No, investors see signs of an easing recession. European markets are up less than 1%. Asian markets gained about 2% today. Singapore was up 5%. The Dow lost 16 points yesterday. The U.S. government is fighting the recession by going deep into debt. But what are the states supposed to do? California is in an $8 billion budget hole, and it's asking voters to help fill it.
Without Props 1A and 1B, we have $16 billion in new cuts coming. Could lose another 24,000 firefighters and police.
Marketplace's Jennifer Collins tells us California is just the biggest example of a nationwide challenge.
If all the states in the country were taking Economics 101, California would be in a parent-teacher conference.
Many states are holding California out as a model that they don't want to emulate.
Jean Ross runs the California Budget Project. She says unlike the federal government, states can't carry deficits. Federal stimulus dollars are helping, but many states are cutting services to balance their budgets. John Shore tracks state spending at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. He says it would be a disaster for states to rely on cuts alone.
When states spend money, that pays salaries, it buys things, it puts money into the hands of people, usually in the local economy. So when states start to cut a lot, that actually makes a recession worse.
Shore says it's better to also raise taxes or find new sources of revenue. Ohio's dipping into its reserves. Hawaii may legalize gambling. It needs the money to make up a nearly $2 billion shortfall. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
The Supreme Court did something this week that will make it harder to kick someone out of the country for stealing an identity. The court ruled you cannot be guilty of aggravated identity theft if you didn't know you were using somebody else's Social Security number. Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus is here. David, what's the story behind this decision?
Well, the Supreme Court was tackling the use of the aggravated identity theft charge by the Bush administration to crack down on illegal immigrants, essentially raiding plants and saying, if you guys are using Social Security cards of other people, we're going to charge you with identity theft, among other things, because it would expedite the deportation process. So it was a way to fast track getting these guys out of the country. The Supreme Court looked at that and said, we don't think that's the exact way the identity theft rule was supposed to be be used. And so they said this law will not apply to people who did not, quote unquote, knowingly steal somebody's Social Security number.
David, you speak of this news topic with an unusual passion. Because you got your identity stolen.
Well, exactly. Let's put some context on this. This is the fastest growing crime in the country. Roughly 10 million people every year are victimized by identity theft. And in my case, a guy who was an illegal immigrant from Jamaica was living in the Connecticut area. This was a number of years ago. And according to the police, he pulled a Social Security number out of the air. He simply made it up using the three digits for Connecticut as the prefix and then putting all the rest together. Little did he know that he was inventing the number of an investigative reporter. And so down the road, when it turned out that he had been running up bills on 9 different credit cards, passing bad checks at Indian casinos, and when his mess made his way into my credit file during a refinance, I then set out to find the guy, which I did, and working with law enforcement, managed to get him arrested and deported. Under this new ruling, he would not be guilty of aggravated identity theft because by having pulled my social out of the air, he did not, quote unquote, knowingly steal my Social Security number.
And you feel about that? How?
I'm a little cheesed off. I find that extraordinary. For a crime of this magnitude that causes so much damage and so much hassle to the victims, and I hate using the word victim, but let's face it, there's a lot of them, anything that takes away law enforcement's tools in its arsenal to crack down on it seems to me a step in the wrong direction. And the notion that my identity thief could have skirted the law because he would have said, oh, well, I didn't know it was David's Social Security number, I find that extraordinary.
David Lazarus, LA Times business columnist. I hope you feel better now.
I'm feeling a little better.
That Jamaican dude picked the wrong guy to mess with. We'll post David's Social Security number on our website, perhaps. You'll have to go there to find out. Come see us at marketplace.org and let us know your personal story, and we'll keep your details private. Marketplace.org. I'm Bill Radke in Los Angeles. Thanks for tuning in, and have a good Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.